Am I a Bad Mum podcast? That's the question we ask continuously.
Over and over again.
Yeah. Am I a bad mum? And sometimes we are, and sometimes we're not.
Actually, it just depends on sort of the day that you've had. Sometimes it is the cycle that you might be in. We know all about those cycles.
Yeah.
Parenting is one hell of a ride. It is a roller coaster. Doesn't matter what stage you're in.
I've got some interesting information for you, actually, because this is something that I heard from a psychologist. This particular psychologist was talking about why mums often lose their sex drives.
Oh, okay. This is a good one.
This is a really interesting one, I thought,
yeah,
for new mums, like mums with babies, because apparently people don't talk about this either,
no,
I feel like.
No.
Apparently when your baby is newborn to about 9 months, your baby is giving you, is it melatonin? It's the love that your baby's giving you. So maybe it's breastfeeding, maybe it's lots of cuddles, it's needing you for things.
Mm.
And apparently, as a female, your body gets that you would have got from having sex with your husband, and therefore you don't need to be doing that anymore. That's why you lose your sex drive.
Because what you're getting from the child through all the love drug,
yeah,
is not required from anyone else.
And I said to my husband, I said, this makes perfect sense. Like, how about this? I feel like I went through that for the first 12 years.
You said to your husband, I think I've been going through this for the last 12 years of your marriage.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
But I told him about this and what she had said. And I said, you know, low sex drive because you're getting love from the baby. And he turned around to me and said, but you don't get any love from the kids. Am I a bad mum for feeling like I'm losing control?
Losing control. We talk about this at the moment. I feel like we've spoken about this over the last few weeks in each podcast. Well, not each and every one of them, but there is an element because you and I are going through some big changes because our kids are getting older.
Yeah. Not going to lie, not enjoying teenagers so far. It's a really weird age, 13, because they still kind of want to be little girls,
yeah,
and they still need you for stuff.
Certain elements, yeah.
But then they're a lot more independent. They're wanting to be older, but then they're kind of also wanting to be younger again. It's a really in-between stage.
They're finding their feet with being self-reliant.
But with the teenage side to things, it's about being rude and it's about answering back. And it's things like, I remember people saying, you know, the bedroom's a complete mess. Tidy your bedroom. I remember my mum always saying, tidy your bedroom. That's the thing already. Mm. What I've realised about it is that I'm kind of dreading, and this is catastrophizing it because this is, you know, might not happen like this, but it might. It's sort of dreading what could happen as they get older with teenagers. And I know we've chatted about it.
Mm.
Can you imagine how you're going to feel when your kid goes out one night, you go to bed, and they don't get home till like 2-3 in the morning? I can't imagine how that's going to feel.
Can you imagine laying there wondering where they are, what they're doing?
Yeah. Are they lying in a ditch drunk?
Oh, no.
Are they on their own? We've talked for years on this podcast about the struggles with parenting and whether we're doing a good job or not. Now it's really getting to the pointy end.
Yeah, this is getting like, into it, isn't it?
Have I done enough to keep them from going out in the world on their own and
to let go of that control? We talked about this. It's the letting go of control.
Yeah, well, even the control thing. I can't imagine being okay upstairs in bed thinking, well, have they locked the front door behind them?
I don't think that you'd ever, doesn't matter what age they are, and I do remember my mum saying this in a few of the states in which I brought myself home in, that she said, it doesn't matter what age you are, I don't think the worry ever goes away.
Yeah.
So no matter where you are, what's happening, what situation, don't stop worrying. As a parent, you just don't. It just doesn't turn off. And that whole key aspect of them being comfortable and confident enough in calling you or calling on you in a time of need. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so say they get themselves into a spot of bother, in which we all have done in our lives, that they are confident and they feel confident enough to call you and go, oh, look, please don't get angry, but, and you go, fuck, what? But at the same time, you're super glad that they called you and that they've connected with you so that they're not doing it with someone else.
Yeah.
You know, like that one and only phone call if they're in lockup, you'd hope it's to you.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like it's going to have those moments because we all do it and we all have such massive different experiences in life that teach us so many lessons.
Yeah.
I guess that's how you grow, right? But it's just this whole us letting go a little bit, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago about this letting go a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that they can sort of utilize the rope to sort of either see how far they can go with the boundaries. Because your girls are doing it right now.
Yeah.
The other day, was it Amelia? You know, you said, no, I'll take you to school in the morning, which is shock horror.
Yeah.
And she's put her own alarm on to get on the bus because she desperately wanted to go on the bus.
Yeah.
Holy wow. Who would have thought?
I know. Who
it can thought? Have a positive spin as much as the other side of it.
It can. But I'm terrified about things like they mentioned about one of the year 12, obviously is this gossip around the school. Ooh. One of the year 12 girls got really drunk. So then they're like, what happens when you get really drunk? And I was like, you'd be so sick. You'll be so sick. You'll be vomiting. You won't know where you are. Just, you know how you bung it on? Because you really, like when I see someone crazy in like the city and I go, oh, that's because they did drugs. So don't ever touch drugs or you end up like that, winging yourself in the street. I do try and shock and scare my kids into thinking a bit certain shock value. But then they said, oh, well, we probably won't drink. And I was like, oh, that's good. I said, you might want to though. Because then I thought, well, no, don't just go along with the lines of, yeah, don't ever drink. Because that's not realistic.
No, so, not at all.
Because then I thought, well, no, actually you have to teach them about what happens because you don't want them, you know, being at somewhere and having a vodka, you know what it's like, you have a vodka cruiser, you feel perfectly fine, you have another one, next minute, you're throwing up in your handbag, like it's just gross, someone's holding your hair back, and I don't want them to be in a situation where they're outside or in a vulnerable position. So I was like, I have to educate them a little bit on this. So I was like, I would hope that, you know, if you wanted to try some, you know, have a little bit at home and see, I said, the trick is to drink slowly, always drink slowly because you have no idea. All of a sudden it's going to have this effect on you. You haven't realized. And then I'm like, afterwards, you know, when you just feel so deflated, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing with this parenting stuff.
I know. And you're in a different space right now. You're going into a different world because they've started sexual education or whatever you called it before, social sciences.
Well, some sort of science.
They're in that next world. They are in it. And it is so crazy to think that you're about to go through this, whether you like it or not.
Mm.
And it's how you show up for them, right? You want to show up. You want to, you know, teach them. You want to sort of let them learn their lessons along the way. But at the same time, you sort of just don't want to be shut out. Mine is I just don't want to be shut out. I want to know what's happening. Like, I want you to feel comfortable enough to come and talk to me about it. Gracie's probably just started opening up a little bit more. But it's funny when you have other people around, other little girls or like things, and then you overhear conversations and you're like, you haven't told me that. You know, or you don't speak like that normally when it's just you and me. Well, now that you got your little friend, like, what the hell? This is crazy. All I'm saying is I'm bracing for the next few years because at this point in time, man, girls, and everyone says this, you know, when you other people go, oh, yeah, girls are harder than boys. You know what? They fucking are. Girls are harder than boys.
Yeah, well, then boys, there's a whole nother kettle of fish, right? Because imagine your teenage boy goes out, has sex. He's then got no choice about whether, do you know what I mean? Like you, that it, being a mum to a boy, it's a whole other bunch of challenges. But there's one positive thing that came out. There's probably a part of me that's going through a bit of a midlife crisis as well because I've got teenagers, you know, I'm getting close to 40. So Holly wanted a puffer jacket. Holly knows what fashion about
She's very, very in tap with the fashion
so
side.
She wanted a puffer jacket, so as she wanted, of course, she wanted one that was label. I said, nah, you can't afford labels. So I bought her a puffer jacket. I just saw it. She wasn't even with me. Took a photo. Do you like it? What brand is it?
Doesn't matter.
So if you like this one, this is the one you're going to have. And then she really liked it. And then I said to her, Okay, how do you feel about the fact that I bought the same one?
What did she say?
She went, I don't mind. You're not going to wear it with a crop top though, are you?